This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. The story of Johannes Brahms' issues with the ghost of Beethoven is one of the best-known tales in all of classical music. How Brahms waited until he was in his 40s to write his first symphony because, as he said, you have no idea what it's like to hear the footsteps of a giant behind you. According to the conventional wisdom of the day, that would have been long past the time when any serious composer should have taken this step. But it wasn't for lack of trying. Several times, Brahms began writing what he intended to be his first symphony, only to have it morph into something else along the way, like a concerto or, in two cases, a serenade. Brahms may have been under the spell of Beethoven, but his models of structure were Haydn and Mozart. Brahms was, at heart, a classicist, pushing his art forward, but with a firm belief in the value of what had come before him. In the case of his two orchestral serenades, this was also true of the form he chose. As he worked his way towards the inevitability of a symphony, he chose to practice his symphonic craft in a form that would have been familiar in the 18th century as lighter music, but which offered him the chance for serious exploration of a wide variety of styles. In 1858, the Principality of Lippe was ruled by Prince Leopold III, who had a keen ear for music and who kept a professional quality orchestra that was in tune with the latest sounds of composers like Berlioz and Wagner. When Clara Schumann moved from Dusseldorf to inconveniently distant Berlin, she recommended that the 24-year-old Brahms succeed her as piano teacher to Prince Leopold's sister and the other ladies of the court at Detmold. Brahms was also expected to conduct a chorus made up of ladies from the court and the town, and to organize chamber music concerts in which he would participate as a pianist. As it turned out, everybody liked him. His piano students, the chorus, which would seemingly do anything for him, and the members of the orchestra. And the prince was pleased with his work as well. For Brahms, though, Detmold was a peaceful place in which to compose, expand his knowledge of the repertory, and gain some experience as a conductor. It also offered a chance for some emotional cooling off, something he needed after Robert Schumann's tragic death in 1856, and Brahms' own brief love affair with the gifted young singer, which ended when Brahms convinced himself that he could never love her as much as he loved music. It was at Detmold that Brahms began his second attempt at writing a large symphonic work. His first had nearly driven him insane before he realized it would be much better off as his first piano concerto. This one began life as a nonet, and it was well received at its premiere. That version no longer exists, though. After he had completed the full orchestral version, Brahms destroyed the score and all the parts of the nonet. Brahms begins in a country place, with drones in the bass representing country pipes and a horn theme on top that brings the hunt to mind. But this is also a tribute to a favorite work by a favorite composer, the finale of Haydn's Last Symphony. And, like Mozart before him and Dvorak afterwards, Brahms fills the serenade with a wealth of melodies. One of the most interesting features about this opening movement is the coda. Twenty-seven measures of a solid and insistent D, grounded by the basses and timpani, which seems to indicate that the movement is over. The flute, however, blithely ignores this, and the cellos happily follow along. The music becomes more and more lost in dreams until the flute gently nudges everyone back to D, as if to apologize for having led them astray in the first place. And with the dancers ready to rest after a vigorous workout, the movement ends, not with a bang, but with a gentle floating chord. That ending is a kind of reverse preparation for the beginning of the slightly sinister second movement, which starts soft and low, and whose theme is a version of an idea which Brahms used 22 years later in the second movement of his second piano concerto. The main body of the movement is dark, but the middle section is a bright outdoorsy contrast. The slow movement is the heart of the serenade, and it is filled with melody as well. There's an amazingly beautiful adagio melody in Mozart's Gran Partita Serenade that playwright Peter Schaeffer used in Amadeus to completely unnerve the character of Salieri. So profound, but what's it doing in a serenade, a piece of party music? There's a melody here which achieves the same effect. As Brahms' spiritual forebear, Mozart would have been pleased. Next come a pair of minuets. Brahms begins with a trio for two clarinets and bassoon, with flute and pizzicato cello joining in for the second strain. The middle section goes into the darker world of G minor, though the mood is not so much dark as wistful, a little sad. And the tune, for strings with clarinets, is one of the most tenderly expressive of Brahms' whole life. It's the presence of the two scherzos that mark this piece as a serenade and definitely not a symphony. The second scherzo is an outright tribute to Beethoven and the country dances he wrote into his second and sixth symphonies. The finale continues with the energetic spirit of the scherzo. It's a rondo with a bouncy main theme, which contrasts beautifully with the rich variety of the other episodes. And the ending is the wonderful, warm sound of Brahms at his happiest. When Brahms' close friend Joseph Joachim first saw the full orchestral score of this piece, he began calling it a symphony serenade, and for a while Brahms did too, though in the end he settled for Serenade in D Major for Large Orchestra. It doesn't feel like a symphony, at least not like what we think of as a Brahms symphony. If it were a symphony by Brahms, its warm, friendly, and approachable sound would make it a favorite in the concert hall. As it is, it's a rarity, a major work by a major composer that's hardly ever heard. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.